The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
This is the Ask the Pastor Hour of the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Sure is a crazy world out there, isn't it? You walk down the street, ask one question of 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers. You know you are. Even if you talk about the Bible or religion, you're going to get at least 8 different answers out of 10 people. That serves as an incentive for the rest of us just to stick our heads in the sand and just not even deal with it. It's almost exhausting, and it's getting worse, I think, to deal with all these questions, whether you're talking about politics or you're talking about religion. Whew. You got to be ready to invest some energy, and sometimes it's easier just to not do that. But that's not what we do here. We invest the energy here, maybe to help you as you process the information that is just coming almost at light speed in our direction these days because of the media. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Our guest in this hour of conversation is Pastor Kirk Clayton. He is pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Muskoda, usually with us here in the studio, but today with us on the telephone. You're on vacation, Pastor?
I am trying to get a little vacation here after,
well, good for you.
After all the Christmas rush.
Good for you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you also.
If it were tomorrow, I'd say Happy Epiphany, I guess. Is that what you say? Blessed Epiphany, Happy Epiphany? What do you
Which
say?
Which means that we can also still say Merry Christmas, because in the church, the Christmas season doesn't end on December 25th. In the evening when all the presents are put away, but
you're
it continues
kidding.
On for 12 days through Epiphany, where we continue to celebrate the manifestation of God made man among us.
You mean I could have been celebrating all these days since Christmas?
Party on.
I missed it. Doggone it. How did that happen? All right, next year I'll do that. Before we deal with our first topic here today, I have a prayer request that I would like you to take care of, if you would, sir. We're going to be praying for a young man. His name is Benjamin Flynn. He's in the fourth grade. He is involved with a surgery this morning. As I understand it, it's probably already underway and expected to take many hours. He suffers from scoliosis, and the surgeons are dealing with some old rods that have been implanted in Benjamin and putting some new ones in. It just sounds very scary indeed. So we have a prayer request to pray for Benjamin Flynn. I wonder if you would do that for us, please.
Always an honor to pray. Let us turn to our Lord in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know your great care for all of your children, as we recognize that you so love us that you sent your own Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as the baby of Bethlehem, to grow, to experience all ages and experiences with us. And so we know your love and your care for Benjamin Flynn as he undergoes surgery this day. As you sent your Son into our world to be among us, so we pray that you would be among us in the surgery for Benjamin. Be with the doctors and nurses who work with him. Be with the surgeons and guide their hands, that this surgery for scoliosis may go smoothly, and that through this miracle of medical technology, you would work your miracle of healing, O Lord, that Benjamin may emerge from surgery and be joyful in the news that all has gone well. We pray for his family and friends that they may support him in the coming days. And we pray that above all, we look to you expectantly for every good and gracious gift. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The O'Reilly Factor last night on the Fox News channel had an interesting interchange between the host, Bill O'Reilly, and a gentleman by the name of David Silverman. He is the president of the group called American Atheists. I don't know if you had a chance to see that or not, Pastor, but Bill O'Reilly is a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how serious he is about his practice in Roman Catholicism, I don't know. But he identifies himself on the program as a Roman Catholic. Obviously, David Silverman is an atheist. The jumping-off point for this conversation is some billboards that the American Atheists have put up, which have caught the attention of the O'Reilly Factor.
Right.
So I'm going to
many others.
I'm going to play a little bit of this here. It's a little bit less than 2 minutes. And I realize, for those of you who are listening to us, there is a certain amount of crosstalk here. It always seems that O'Reilly can't quite quiet down when his guest is responding, but that's kind of the nature of the program. So let's listen to this together from last night's O'Reilly Factor.
Inside the Lincoln Tunnel here in New York City, that said belief in Jesus as God is, quote, a myth. Then just last weekend, another sign appeared, this one in Huntsville, Alabama. The message says this about religion. You know, they're all scams, picturing Christian, Jewish, and Islamic symbols on the sign. So what's going on? With us now, David Silverman, president of the American Atheist Group, which is responsible for both billboards. So why the insults?
Well, they're not insults. They're truths.
Wait. We just heard Nancy Pelosi said that it's pay-as-you-go. So let's try to get into the truth.
This isn't about pay-as-you-go. This is about telling the truth. Now, if people
if you
get
say,
offended
if you
because we're saying what we believe...
No.
That's not us insulting.
Let's just be regular guys instead of I'm a Catholic, you're atheist. We're just regular guys now, okay? You say something's a scam.
Yep.
On a sign. And then you come in here where millions of people are watching you and say that's not an insult. What does the word scam mean to you?
Scam means it's deliberately misleading people.
And that's not an insult?
It's not an insult to the people. The people are just following.
It's not an insult to the people?
It's a
Okay, Pastor, let's review the logic here. You obviously, with thinking that lends itself in the direction of faith and belief, what do you make of the atheists' claim that calling your religion, in this case Christianity, a scam should not be taken by you as an insult?
I'm not as worried as O'Reilly was about whether it's an insult or not. If we want to go the insult route, I guess I could turn to Psalm 14, verse 1, and not I, but God himself delivering an insult, saying, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." So the fool says in his heart, "There is no God," says God. So I'm not as worried as O'Reilly is about insults or not insults. What I'm more interested in is that this atheist makes the claim throughout the interview that saying that religion is a scam or that religion is a lie or that religion is a myth is not news. It's just proven demonstrable fact in his mind, which I would certainly like to know where he gets his facts.
All right. Let's continue that interview then.
It's a statement to the people who are following the religion, and really, it's attacking the people who are in the pews.
Right.
Wait a second.
Wait. Now I'm stick with the insult, because this is certainly an insult in my opinion, and I know I'm not the smartest guy in town, but okay, so religion is a scam, but it's not the people's fault. They've just been lured in.
That's right.
Whose fault is it?
It's the leaders of the religion.
The leaders.
Of course.
All right.
I mean, this is not brain
surgery. Pope.
The Pope, absolutely.
Right.
Look, this is not brain surgery, and this is not world news. Everybody knows religion is a scam. The only news here is
everybody knows. I don't know,
it.
Mr. Silverman.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I got to tell you.
You sit here and you're skeptical every day, and then you go to church and you get on your knees and you pray to an invisible man in the sky.
Invisible man in the sky.
You think that's a scam?
No, I don't.
Okay, what do you make of that, Pastor?
I think right there is actually the heart of it. Let's see, Silverman, I believe, right? David Silverman.
Yes, David
the
Silverman.
The president of the American Atheists. Says, this is not news, saying that religion is a scam. Everybody knows it's a scam. Riley replies, I don't know it's a scam. And Silverman says, so you tell me you're here and you're skeptical every day, and then you go into church and you kneel down and you pray to some invisible man in the sky, and you don't think that's a scam? It's fascinating that the atheist can be skeptical about religion, but assumes that that's the only thing there is to be skeptical about, and that if O'Reilly is skeptical about so many things, he must also be skeptical about his religion. I'm very skeptical about David Silverman's religion. He says everybody knows that there is no God. Everybody knows that religion is a scam. Well, I happen to be quite skeptical about his claim. And Chuck, if you don't mind, I'd actually like to pose this as a little invitation for any atheists that are in your audience. I'm not sure how many atheists there are that listen to KFUO Lutheran Radio, but if there are, and if you can prove to me prove to me beyond the shadow of a doubt. You've got the facts. Everybody knows that this is the fact, apparently. I just missed the memo. If you can prove to me beyond the shadow of a doubt, call in and give me the proof, please.
I think that the atheist would respond by saying it's not up to them to prove that there is no God. They would say there is no proof of any kind of a God anywhere, and it's up to you to prove that there is one. I think that's how they would respond.
But that's not really what he said last night. He said everybody knows it's a myth. Everybody knows it's a scam. And so then let's just acknowledge that, no, he's wrong. Everybody does not know that this is a myth. And again, let me say, if I can be proven wrong, please do so. Any atheist that would like to disprove conclusively and with factual evidence that there's a God, please call in. You can even give the studio numbers if you'd like to make it easier for them. But
those numbers to call would be 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. So let's back up here just a moment, Pastor Clayton, because I'm not so sure, excuse me, that O'Reilly was focusing on the nature of the insult when he brought that up in the beginning of the interview, as much as he was focusing on the issue of credibility. Now, here's a man who has made the statement that it is a known fact, I'm paraphrasing him now, that there is no God. This is a known fact. If you're going to make that kind of a statement, then you ought to have the credibility to substantiate the making of that statement. You should be credible. I think O'Reilly was suggesting perhaps that your credibility is in question if you can say on a billboard that all religions are scams. That is a claim, I think, that erodes the credibility of the organization, or in this case, the representative of the organization, David Silverman. Would you agree that the billboard claim all religions are scams erodes his credibility?
I would certainly agree that would be the case, because it's a statement out of really unproven ignorance. And if Silverman wants to say I just insulted him, you know, I'll take the blame for that. But I think to say that it is a demonstrated fact, it is a known fact that there is no God, is really a very...
pretty audacious, isn't it?
It is. I have a friend who has a quote that I think is pretty good. He says, I don't believe in atheists. The reason is, to be an atheist, to know that there is no God, you would have to be able to disprove that there's an all-present God. You would need to be able to prove that God is present in none of these places that he claims to be. So you would need to be an all-present atheist to disprove the existence of God. You are not. Therefore, you might be an agnostic, but you're not an atheist. So he says, I don't believe in atheists.
So it seems to me that we're left at this sort of crossroads. There are those who believe with absolute conviction that there is a God, and they really can't prove that empirically or scientifically, and that there are those who believe with absolute conviction that there is no God, and they really can't prove that scientifically or empirically. And so there you are. And really, neither one has to budge if they don't want to. Would you agree with that?
Well, you have actually just stated the case much, much better than David Silverman did in his interview with O'Reilly. In both cases, you used the word belief. I firmly believe that there is a God, yes. David Silverman might firmly believe that there is no God. That is his belief. He does not have proof for that. Unless your phone lines are lighting up with atheists that are proving it wrong. I can't see the phone lines being here on vacation, but any callers yet on that?
Well, we do have a caller's in. I'm not sure if that caller wants to address this subject or not, because as you know on Ask the Pastor, we always...
It's kind of open lines, yeah.
Yeah, we always allow people to go in any direction they'd like. But we do have some more of this interview to listen to. We'll do that in a little bit. So let's go ahead and take this call and speak with John. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. John, you're on the Bible study.
Chuck, good morning. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I happen to be in the group that D devoutly believes in God. Just to touch base there a little bit, you know, I know that, you know, I think a lot of things just have to be taken on faith. And a lot of the atheists that carry on and do the way that they do, maybe the Spirit just hasn't moved them yet. You know, it's really unfortunate for them.
Let me ask you this, John. You say you happen to belong to the group that devoutly believes that there is a God.
Yes.
David Silverman thinks that you are the gullible sucker of a scam. Do you feel insulted by that?
You know, Mr. Silverman can believe whatever he chooses to believe. You know, it is, to me, as far as insulting me, you know, maybe he just, you know, doesn't feel or doesn't see the point of man believing in something, you know, and it's more than that. It's so much more than that. I actually feel bad for him more than I do feel insulted. I mean, you know, when the Spirit comes into you and you start to read your Bible, then, you know, some things kind of start, as I like to say, jump off the page at you, and you believe. It's there. To me, as just a person new in the faith, it's unexplainable. But it's there. I believe. I feel it.
All right.
I feel bad for Mr. Silverman. You know, maybe one day we can all hope and pray that something comes into him.
So did you have another point that you wanted to offer, John?
You know, please. I hated to get off of you guys' conversation.
That's
I apologize.
All right.
The two questions I have, and I'll run this off of you real quick here. What is this rapture? Is it scriptural? And what is this paradise earth that I hear these other religions talking about? Is, you know, there's so many different things that I hear. I saw some of this on National Geographic, and I really watch a lot of that because they try to bring science in on things a lot that it doesn't quite fit with the program.
Okay.
But I appreciate it, and love the show, guys.
Rapture and Paradise Earth. Thank you very much, John. Which one do you want to take first, Pastor?
Well, let's look at the Rapture and the Paradise Earth quickly, and then I think we could really have a lot of fun getting back to this Silver and O'Reilly interview, too.
Do have another caller standing by, so we'll go to James here when you're done with that.
Okay. The Rapture is mentioned in Jesus' eschatological dialogue in the week before he is arrested, crucified, and rises from the dead. He talks about how one will be taken, one will be left as they're working in the fields. However, it's not really clear as to who is taken, who is left. Is it the believer or the unbeliever that's taken and left? And this is in the larger framework of the final judgment in the last day. Also as seen through the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD. And so there's you have to be careful as to how you understand when this takes place, as one is taken, one is left. Also, we have the promise in Thessalonians that the last trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. And so the rapture is the idea that those who are believers in Christ will be taken to be with him. Now, the commonly understood idea of the rapture is that this will take place before the final judgment, and those who believe in Jesus Christ will simply vanish from the earth. I don't see scriptural support for that, as we understand that as Jesus is speaking in the Gospels, he is also seeing this through the eye of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Now, I do believe that at the last day, Christ will call all of his faithful to be with him, but not in a secret way, but in a very public way, as the trumpet sounds, as you see lightning flash from one end of the sky to the other. In a very public way, Christ will take his believers to be with him. And that, I believe, is scriptural. Paradise Earth, I'm not sure exactly of the reference that the caller was talking about, but I would see that Jesus says that he will create a new heavens and a new earth. The new earth also will be perfect and sinless without any trace of the corruption that we see now. And so I think that while I don't know exactly what the catchphrase Paradise Earth refers to, we can believe that in the end there will be a paradise on earth as it is recreated as God intended from the beginning.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, you're next on the Bible study.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
And Paul. One of the things I find about interesting about all these people that says there's no God, and even atheism, on a book by George H. Smith called Atheism, The Case Against God. In reading that book and even listening to what you said in the brief information you gave him over the air from the interview, the documentation a lot of these people to me seems that what they're using is statements out of context or partial statements made by individuals, maybe only in questioning their own faith, whether or not how strong their faith is in God. And it shows that this man has really no faith in God, and he really needs to do more soul-searching within himself.
Well, what I would say is he has a very, very strong faith in a lack of God, which is faith. It is not demonstrable proof. I often tell my students that I teach in confirmation class, I frankly don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Back to Chuck, what you'd mentioned before, that we cannot prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God, but also I would suggest that we cannot prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is not a God. Both atheists and people of faith, and I will represent Christians, work from a standpoint of faith. There is no absolute proof on either side, and I think a true, honest atheist would have to admit that. He cannot disprove the existence of God any more than I can, beyond the shadow of a doubt, prove the existence of God. So then what you're left to do is, you can do some soul-searching, as our caller recommended, but I would also say, then just check the facts and let them fall where they may. And do the facts lean for or against the existence of a God? And I would strongly suggest, while I cannot prove it 100%, that the greater weight of facts by far points to the existence of a God.
Okay, James?
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, James.
And what I like about KFUO's programming is that it really helps me to develop a greater faith in God and in my daily living. And I bless your programs in the future.
Well, thank you. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
That's good to hear. All words of encouragement are always good to hear. Now, we're coming to the bottom of the hour here, Pastor. We're going to listen to more of this interview on the other side of the break. But I'd like you to think about this. People who engage in debate, and there's usually plenty of debate on the O'Reilly factor. I don't know that it's always civilized, but there's usually plenty of debate there. People who engage in debate, give and take, are aware of some of the techniques that can be used sometimes in the business of argument. One of those is the ad hominem technique, which I would describe it this way. If you're arguing an issue and you're losing the argument, one of the ways to not lose the argument is to stop focusing on the question or the issue, and instead of attacking the argument, attack the man who's making the argument.
Against the man.
Yeah, and that's what I guess that's Latin, right? Ad hominem. So you attack the man, and that's often very successful because the person who is making the winning argument is often distracted from the issue and goes to the business of defending him or herself, and thus the other person does not lose the argument.
It's also one of the weakest forms of argument they can use because it's not debating the point. It is simply attacking the character of the person who's making the argument, which is not to the point of the issue at all.
Well, it's weak.
It does distract people, but it's really a very weak form of argumentation.
But it's only weak if the person who is being attacked identifies the ad hominem move. If the person who's being attacked does not identify that technique, then it'll work. And that's really what my question is for you on the other side of the break. I'm thinking that the atheists could put up a billboard listing all the glories of atheism. They could list all of the positive aspects of atheism. Instead, they choose to attack those who believe, hold some kind of religious belief. They choose to say to those people that if you are a religious person, you have succumbed to a scam, you sucker. And I think it's an ad hominem argument. Let's find out what Pastor thinks on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Ask the Pastor Bible Study, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I'm Dale Meyer. Did you ever wonder what kind of pastor or deaconess will serve the good news to your children, grandchildren, and the coming generations? Prospective pastors and deaconesses regularly come to Concordia Seminary to consider careers in the Lord's service. Please pray for them. And please encourage young people you know to consider the ministry for their life's work. Thank you.
Coming up on Adventures in Odyssey.
Teach acting in Odyssey?
Money's the game.
That's showbiz.
Blackguard's the name.
I'm off the hook from having to cater to Connie's bad play. I'm free. Free at last.
Don't miss your part.
You are the star.
What?
On the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I don't like in vitro fertilization. Usually human embryos are killed in the process of delivering a child, and there are no guidelines to deal with the myriad of ethical issues surrounding IVF. Here's a case in point. A 50-year-old woman from Mexico has given birth to her first grandchild. The father of the baby is her 31-year-old homosexual son. A childhood friend of the man donated her ovum. He supplied the sperm, and mom carried the baby in her womb. This violates several biblical truths. A homosexual home is no place to raise a child. Was it God's intention a mother be physically involved in the pregnancy and birth of her grandchild? And how will this twisted situation affect the child? It's time someone spoke up for the innocent victims.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Growing persecution. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The Obama administration says it's deeply concerned by what appears to be a rising number of attacks on Christians.
From Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley told reporters,
"We're concerned about this and we condemn all violence that is based on religion or ethnicity."
In Pakistan, the governor of Punjab province was gunned down Tuesday by a bodyguard who was angry about the politician's opposition to Pakistan's harsh blasphemy laws. Jim Jacobson, president of Christian Freedom International, says,
"This governor was a very courageous man. He took a stand that cost him his life. He stood up for a Christian woman who was convicted under these terrible blasphemy laws. She was sentenced to hang."
A Pakistani intelligence official interrogating the governor's suspected killer says the bodyguard bragged that he was proud to have killed a blasphemer. I'm Steve Coleman.
Law and Gospel has received three emails talking about reason and logic. One email questions whether God truly died on the cross. Another reveals when he was a child, his understanding of Mary was based on reason. We will reveal a distinction to know when reason is sometimes useful and at other times mischievous.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jeske from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 7:30 for some straight talk and real hope. Time of Grace.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
All of our Ask the Pastor programs are open phone programs. That's our promise to you. You can talk about whatever you like. We bring certain issues and questions to the table every day here. But that does not mean that you cannot change the subject. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest is Pastor Kirk Clayton. He is pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Muskoda. We've been talking about an interview that was on the Fox News Channel O'Reilly Factor program last night. O'Reilly, in an exchange with David Silverman, who is president of the group American Atheists, and the give and take there was, I would say, lively. It all springs from the placement of a billboard, large billboard, out on the East Coast, that says, placed by the American Atheist, that says, all religions are scams. And before we went to the break, I posited that the claim all religions are scams is something of an ad hominem argument. That is, in making that claim, the implication is that if you are a religious person, that you've been duped, that you're a fool. And atheists have the remedy for your foolishness. It's an attacking the man claim. What do you think, Pastor Clayton, of the possibility that this could be an ad hominem argument?
I think you're exactly right. In the case of both billboards, it doesn't state any proof or facts. It just says it's a myth, and therefore, by extension, if you believe it, then you are following a lie, and you're probably not the brightest bulb in the pack. Also, I think if we look at it, the entire debate last night between O'Reilly and this David Silverman was basically just a series of ongoing ad hominem attacks, basically each other calling the other one ignorant or a liar or stupid or immoral or, you know, the list goes on and on. The one case was actually Bill O'Reilly, who tried to go beyond an ad hominem attack at one point. And I think that might be a good jumping off place for where we could address what's going on the billboards.
All right.
Too.
Let's listen to that in just a bit. First of all, I want to take this call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, you're on the Bible study.
Yes, Pastor. My response to the atheist would be true religion is not a scam, but theological spin is the scam we Christians sometimes produce. And when I say theological spin, I mean theological spin is when you become a doctrinal bully and formalism and ritualism is produced instead of love for God and our fellow man. So what I would do is try to direct him to Jeremiah 23, verses 21 and 22, and James 1, verses 26 and 27. I'd like to ask you, Pastor, to give me an application of those four verses.
What do those four verses say, James?
Actually, I don't have my Bible before me in here, but it's Jeremiah 23, verses 21 through 22, and James 1, verses 26 through 27.
And what is it? What is it that you think we're going to find when we get there?
Well, I think you're going to find in the Jeremiah verses about false prophecies and false prophets, and in the James verse, you'll find what actually is pure and true religion. My thing to I guess contest the atheists is to understand that, you know, true religion is not a scam, but that theological spin is sometimes the scam that we Christians produce.
All right. Thanks for the call. Pastor, your thoughts?
Well, I have the two passages here. As the caller mentioned, the Jeremiah passage says, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. And then James 1, verses 26 and 27 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I think we need to be careful to avoid making a false distinction here. There are a lot of ways in which religion does a lot of good. The ways that James is advocating, I think, are more through social justice and through ministry and work in the world, which certainly is an incredibly good effect of Christianity in the world, and I will not deny that in the slightest. However, I would not go so far as to say that I think what James called theological spin is necessarily a bad thing either. Christianity, and I'll make this claim boldly, Christianity is truth. And truth has propositions that go along with it, that this is true, this is false. And if we get overly wrapped up in simply doing good in the world, and there's nothing wrong with doing good in the world, it's an excellent thing, don't get me wrong on that, but if we focus our resources entirely there and give up entirely the domain of defending the truth that this is right and this is wrong, then we can simply be swept away, as the atheists are trying to do, with ad hominem attacks, since we have no intellectual backbone to hold us up. And I think we need to have both and. We need to be about the business of loving people and doing God's work in the world. Absolutely. But not at the expense of giving our brains away and just being steamrolled by any new philosophy or intellectualism that comes along. We need to do both.
Here's another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jim, you're next on the Bible study.
Good morning. Good morning, Joe. You know, it's easy for me to understand an atheist and an agnostic, or you know, and when they say things about there's a lot of scams, well, there is a lot of scams in religion. We know that. But, you know, to know the truth, God has to deal with the individual individually. And that way, when the Spirit of God comes into a person, then he knows the difference within himself. And until the Spirit comes into a person, he don't know no difference. He's lost out here. A lot of them think they got faith, or they got this, or they got that. But they have no idea that God, in him we live and move and have our being. He comes into our heart. He opens up our heart and shows us who he is. And that's, you know, the rest of the world that doesn't have him in it, they're dead men walking. And that's all there is to it. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Your thoughts, Pastor?
As the caller mentioned, there are unfortunately some scams within the churches. There are the sex abuse scandals in not only the Roman Catholic Church, but in evangelical churches, yes, even in Lutheran churches. And these are damnable. Let me say it, there is no excuse for them. There are embezzlements, there are frauds, there are things that are sinful throughout the church. And yes, this is unfortunate and is the biggest black eye the church can give. But I don't think that's what the billboards are getting at. I think it's that the foundation of the belief itself is being labeled a myth or a scam. And so the one place in the O'Reilly Factor interview last night that O'Reilly tries to get above the ad hominem attacks and actually look at the facts, he says, I believe in God, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit too, because of the waves. The waves go in, the waves go out, they never miss a beat, there's never a miscommunication, and an atheist can't explain that. Now, I think there are stronger ways to state this, but what O'Reilly is basically doing here is pointing to nature and saying an atheist cannot explain the existence of God based on the complexity of nature, which actually is a very, very good argument. Now, using the waves and the tides may not be the strongest voicing of it, but actually he's on a very strong case for Christianity in saying nature is too complex, and it is too carefully regulated, and it is too finely tuned to be an accident, and the atheists cannot explain how life exists or where life originated, and this is the larger argument that O'Reilly is making, and unfortunately David Silverman brushed it aside with more ad hominem attacks, but there actually could be some fertile ground there for getting beyond the ad hominem attacks in this argument from nature and its complexity.
Let's listen to a little bit more of this exchange from the O'Reilly Factor between the host, Bill O'Reilly, and the president of American Atheist, David Silverman.
Who's making the tides go in and out.
No, but you can't explain
a scam
that.
And a myth of the same. The myth and religion are the same thing. It doesn't matter if I can explain it.
It doesn't?
That doesn't mean that an invisible magic man in the sky is doing
and
it.
And you're free to believe that. But when you insult.
We're not insulting. Right. Look, there are thousands
you
of billboards.
You're calling religion a scam and a myth.
It is a scam and it is a myth, but that's a statement of fact. If you get insulted.
It is not a statement of fact.
Of course it's
a statement of belief.
It's an invisible man in the sky.
No, that's what you believe.
This country is filled with billboards attacking atheists, and this country has several.
And there he goes right back to an ad hominem attack again, getting away from the issue of the tides.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here's where we need to focus. And you know this probably better than I do or our listeners do. There are people in American churches who are troubled in their faith. They have doubts. They have skepticisms. They are not firm in their Christianity. And some of them are members of Zion Mascuda. They're on the membership roll there, but they don't come to church, maybe for this reason or that. One of those reasons could be that they don't know how to answer the claims of a man like Mr. Silverman. And so Mr. Silverman knows that these people are in American churches, And I think he's trying to close the deal for them and get them out of there. They drive along the interstate and they see a big billboard that says, "You know, Mr. Doubter, that all religions are scams." And in the privacy of his doubting heart, the driver of the car says, "Yeah, you know, that's right." And he decides to be done with it. It seems to me that that may be the goal of the billboard. What do you think?
That may well be the goal of the billboard, and I think Silverman said that pretty clearly, but I think the church has an incredible treasure trove to stand on to prevent that from happening. And maybe I can just give one shameless plug here for the work of Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and his International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held every summer in Strasbourg, France. If there are people that have serious questions that want to research this more fully, check this out. The website is www.apologeticsacademy.eu. This is 2 weeks of intensive training as to how better to understand and defend the Christian faith. And I think O'Reilly has touched on a good way to start going about this by looking at the issues of nature and where did it come from. And maybe we can just spend a few minutes saying, where did the world come from? Did it come from the Big Bang? I don't believe that. But even if it did, the Big Bang says things start from nothing and it blow up into the universe that we have. So what was before the nothing that started the Big Bang? You still need an unmoved mover. You still need something to start things off. You are still left at the place that you are in Job chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? On what basis were it sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" The atheists have no answer to these questions of origins. They have no question to the origin of matter. They have no question to the origin of life. There is no answer outside of a being beyond our universe who intentionally, intellectually, forcefully gets things going. Either that or you have to believe that matter is eternal, which is not the current scientific theory. So science itself cries out for a beginning point, and before the beginning point, you need to have a creator. This is why I'm saying, if you doubt the existence of God, simply check the facts. Where do the facts lead? The facts lead to a beginning, and before the beginning, science cannot go.
But there has
to be a start.
Now we have a problem, because anybody who's ever spent any time on the playground, either as a child many years ago, or perhaps as a teacher or an adult supervisor, has heard an exchange between kids that sounds something like this. "No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are." And then one sticks his tongue out at the other, and that pretty much is where they leave it. This is sort of what we have going on here on this O'Reilly Factor program. The atheist is making the claim that all religions are a myth. And O'Reilly says, "No, they're not. That's your belief." And the atheist says, "Yes, they are. It's a fact." Back and forth, stick out your tongue, and that's where we are. Now, Pastor Clayton, are you in a position to elevate the debate at that point, this seeming impasse, where the atheist claims that religion, your religion, you're a Christian pastor, that your religion is a myth?
Well, I hope so. And that's what I'm trying to do here by pointing to the argument of the origins of the universe or an unmoved mover. Not simply saying that Silverman is a fool, as we read from Psalm 14, that the fool says in her heart there is no God, but to get beyond the ad hominem attacks to the substance of the issues. If God did not create the heavens and the earth, where did it come from? It's fairly well known in science that life does not come from non-life. When Darwin proposed his theory, actually, that had not yet been proven. Louis Pasteur proved that life does not come from non-life. There used to be recipes. If you wanted to make mice, the recipe was you set meat out on the countertop. If you wanted to create maggots, you left bread out on the countertop, and the bread created maggots. Louis Pasteur disproved that and says, no, life can only come from another living being. This goes completely against the theory of atheism. or the religion of atheism, or the belief system of atheism. Atheism says, no, life sprang to being on its own with no outside directive force whatsoever. And I simply say, the weight of science really, really overrules that. I have a much firmer grounding in science to believe that life comes from a living, creative being, which I believe to be God, than an atheist does scientifically to say that no, life came as a random accident from nothing living, or that living things came from non-living things. It just doesn't happen that way. This is experiential, demonstrable science that says life does not come from non-life. And so I think that I have a much firmer scientific ground to stand on, not yet to claim the Christian God, but to claim the existence of a God, which is the opposite of what the atheist says. We could also look not only at the universe, but at the life within the cell and the information programmed inside a cell. Bill Gates has said what we see inside a cell looks an awful lot like computer code, but far more complex than any code that we have yet written at Microsoft. Where did that code inside every cell of our bodies come from, if not from an intelligent source? I have an extremely difficult time believing that the complexity that we see within every single simple cell of our body arose by accident. And an atheist needs to disprove to me how I am wrong here. How did all this information originate from chaos? There is no demonstrable experience of that happening. And so I think in these ways we can move beyond the yes you did, no you didn't, yes you are, no you aren't, stick out your tongue at each other. They need to answer these questions of origins. And then we can look into Scripture, getting close to the Christian God, and see the amazing, astounding accuracy of the scriptural message, and see that unlike most written religion or written documents of other religions in the world, Scripture is shown to be accurate in its place names, in its historical reporting, in its names of people in history. And if it is so accurate in these other details, why would we say that it is now inaccurate in its reporting of who God is and what he has done for us? We can look at the life of Jesus Christ. We can see that Jesus Christ is reported as being very similar to what we see in Scripture in non-Christian secular historians of the same time, about the same time, Josephus, Pliny, Suetonius, other ancient historians that report very similar news about Jesus Christ as what we receive in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the rest of the New Testament.
Well,
so
this brings
all this weight of evidence that points that Christians actually have a much stronger case in defending why they believe what they believe than atheists have in defending why they believe, and I say believe, what an atheist believes.
Sometimes, you know what's fascinating here is that, as I said before, I guess in its lowest common denominator fashion, Mr. Silverman can't prove there is no God, Mr. O'Reilly can't prove there is a God, but both you, in talking about Louis Pasteur and the sophisticated, quote-unquote, computer code that is written into the DNA of living things, you are making an appeal to science, and he is making an appeal to science. He believes that the claim that religion is a myth or a scam is scientifically provable. He believes that.
Although he never said that, did he? As you pointed out, he continued to simply attack at the level of ad hominem attack, which means he was on very weak ground factually and simply had to start calling names. He actually did not ever approach the scientific questions of it because he was on losing territory.
So, at the end of the day, he apparently intends to prevail by the power of his assertion. He doesn't have any proof that there is no God. He doesn't feel like he is compelled to provide any proof that there is no God. He states facts as if they were true based on the power of his own assertion. Religion is a myth, and he says, and everybody knows it. Which we know is not true. I mean, that in itself is untrue. But apparently it's his plan to win the argument by the mere power of his assertion. Some people, Pastor, obviously not you. I can't imagine that you would be overwhelmed by Mr. Silverman's arguments here. But a lot of people can be overwhelmed by the mere power of the argument. You know, I'm just saying here's what's true, and I'm done. And if you don't agree with me, then you're an idiot. That's
Actually, I was absolutely overwhelmed by the weakness of his argument. He presented nothing other than just, hey, this is what everybody knows and accepts, which is patently, obviously wrong. But that's the strongest argument he made, was everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. He made no arguments that had any support in validity
whatsoever. O'Reilly said, no, they don't. No, they don't. But, but that doesn't mean O'Reilly wins.
He was name-calling and denying. So I was really shocked at how weak his argument was. And, by the way, anybody called in yet to prove us wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
Either we don't have any atheists listening to us today, or they don't want to defend that position.
Yep, just wanted to check and see if anybody had conclusive proof that God didn't exist.
But what do you say to somebody, Pastor, and as you well know, people who were raised in the church, who accepted as truth the things their pastors taught them in confirmation, who never really bothered to think it through, who never really bothered to assemble the information in a way so as to be faithful to be able to make a defense for what it is that you believe. They've just sort of accepted it. When those beliefs are under attack, more often than not, they're going to wilt. They're going, particularly if the attacker, in this case David Silverman, is particularly aggressive about his claims. They're not going to be like you, Pastor. They're not going to say to themselves, oh, well, this is really an overwhelmingly weak argument. No, they may collapse. Now, you're probably going to stand up, but a lot of people would not or will not. What do you have to say to them?
Well, this is where I am so thankful for faithful programs like yours and for the opportunity to share some of these ideas. And I kind of apologize to your listeners. I dumped a ton of stuff in the last 10 minutes, far beyond what could probably be digested in one sitting. But it's so important to get the truth out there. Simply let the truth prevail. The truth will prevail in the end. We simply need to faithfully proclaim it and let people make up their minds from there. Let the Holy Spirit do his work with the information that's been presented. And so I really, really thank you for giving the opportunity for people to hear that truth presented in a way that we pray does strengthen their faith, so that when they are tempted, they do not fall.
Do you think it's important, Pastor Clayton, that people listening to us who say in the privacy of their own hearts, you know, if I had to go up against David Silverman, I'd get creamed. I don't have the resources, I don't have the education, I don't have the rhetorical skills to go up against somebody like that. Do you think those people should feel motivated to get up to speed? Or is it okay for us to say, thanks be to God that Pastor Kirk Clayton is on the scene because he could do it?
Well, certainly don't place any trust in Pastor Kirk Clayton. I mean, that's that's a fool's errand right there. But, we do have many brilliant people who are working in defending the Christian faith, and we praise and thank God for the valuable work that they're doing. But I would never discourage someone from getting up to speed themselves. And that's one of the things I mentioned with the Apologetics Academy. If you've got a couple weeks of time and the ability to take part of that, that's wonderful. Or check out some good books on the topics of Christian apologetics. Again, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is a good place to start. Craig Parton, Paul Meyer, from a non-Lutheran perspective would be Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell. There are many really good resources that you can look at to begin strengthening your faith, not just in saying that, well, we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to work mysteriously in our heart and strengthen our faith, but to dig our teeth into the evidence that's there for our faith. And there is evidence there for our faith, and I would simply encourage listeners to check it out.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest
Always
of your vacation.
Yeah. Well, this has been a treat. This is not taking much away from vacation at all.
Good.
Love having the chance to hash through the issues and speak hopefully boldly and accurately in defense of the Christian faith.
God bless you, sir.
And you too. Thank you.
Tomorrow, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with Pastor Curtis Dieterding up in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.